This is episode 129 of Extraordinary Women Radio.
Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gilner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey.
Hello, my extraordinary women friends. It's Ignite time here in Colorado. My car is packed, my suitcase is packed, and recording this intro is the last thing I need to do before I head to the Golden Hotel in downtown Golden, Colorado. We kick off tomorrow with a room full of extraordinary women who will be raising up their voices and visibility in 2020. I love this event. It's my fifth year of doing it. And with 80 changemaker women joining me over the next 3 days, I am jazzed about the impact on our world that will come from this room of extraordinary women. And speaking of changemaker women, I am thrilled to bring you today's guest, Danielle Schutz. Danielle and I sit on the board of trustees for the Women's Foundation of Colorado. It's been a pleasure getting to know Danielle this year. The Women's Foundation of Colorado is a community foundation that creates more pathways to economic security for Colorado women. We use the power of our community, philanthropy, and impact to help all women thrive, which builds a more prosperous state and world for us all. If you want to learn more about the work of the Women's Foundation of Colorado, I will put a link to our annual report in the show notes, so check it out. Now, let me introduce you to Danielle Schutz. Danielle is the founder and CEO of The Daily Boss Up, a digital startup that provides coaching, mentoring, and consulting for leaders at every stage of their professional development. Danielle is also the vice president and chief financial officer for the Colorado Trust, a private health equity foundation supporting Colorado communities. At the age of 26, Danielle embarked on her executive leadership path, ascending to the position of CFO for the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. After the state, Danielle served as the Vice President of Finance and Business Operations for the West Division of Comcast, managing a billion-dollar capital portfolio and a team of 60 employees located in 7 states. Danielle's youthful exuberance, distinguished business acumen, and tenacious work ethic have garnered her numerous accolades. She was named to the prestigious 2019 list of 25 most powerful women in business from the Colorado Women's Chamber of Commerce, the 2018 Women of the Year Award for her work with youth in the community, and a recipient of the 2017 Denver Business Journal's 40 Under 40 Award. During her remarkable career, she has been featured at TEDx Mile High, Women of Telecommunications, Tech It Out Talk, the Black Women Lead Summit, and the Women of Denver Summit, to name just a few. As a mother and community advocate, Danielle is passionately involved giving back to the community. She has been a longtime mentor with the Challenge Foundation. She is the president of the board for the Mile High Ministries, and of course, she's part of the Women's Foundation of Colorado Executive Board. Let's meet Danielle Schutz. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Danielle. I am so thrilled to have you join us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you. And it's been so much fun getting to know you this year as we both sit on the Board of Trustees for the Women's Foundation of Colorado. What a wonderful organization we get to participate on.
I'm beyond grateful to be a part of it and just to meet all of you as well. It's been phenomenal.
Yeah, it's the board is just amazing. The women of the staff, the leadership there, it's really truly such a good organization, and we're doing such great things.
Yeah, it's just all of the connections with the work that's happening there are just so close to my heart. So it feels cool to get to be in a board where it's just so close to home, and to be on this side of it is just so cool.
Yeah, it really touches my heart as well. You know, I think we were both single moms, so I think it's a space for us that we really love to raise up women. And I know one of the things you're really working on right now ties around the Impact Committee, and you're leading that committee, and I get to be part of that committee. Do you want to just do a quick shout out for what the Impact Committee is about?
Yeah, so Programmatic Investment Committee within the Women's Foundation of Colorado. You know, I really have a passion for philanthropic work that is sustainable. And I think one way that philanthropic work is changing is these items called investments. So how do we use our, you know, philanthropic dollars to invest in our communities in ways that have not been traditional. So not necessarily grant making, but women starting businesses. Are we investing in those businesses and making sure that they have the capital to get them going? Or, you know, affordable housing or other large capital items like that. Are we investing in those items that will be sustained within our cities, within Colorado for a long time? And so programmatic investing is a real passion of mine. I'm excited to chair that committee and excited that the Women's Foundation is dipping its toe in a different type of philanthropic landscape.
Oh, I am too. And as soon as we started talking about it last year, I was like, yes, I want to be involved in this, because it just, you know, for me, it's women in entrepreneurship and looking at investing in a different way, in a way that creates impact. It just, to me, is so powerful, and it's, and it speaks to my heart. It speaks to my soul. So I was, yeah, it was an easy yes on that.
I'm so glad you were.
Yes, yes. And I'm learning so much, because my background was not in the finance area. So I am learning so much from so many of the amazing women and men who sit on that committee. So it's really exciting.
It's a journey. I'm learning a ton too. So,
yeah. And you are rocking stages all over the place right now. And I love to see you on the stage. You are so good on the stage.
Oh my God. Thank you.
You always have such great stories. You inspire, you uplift. And, you know, last year you were recognized as one of the most powerful women in Denver. So congratulations on that.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I still pinch myself about that.
That was such a fun night. I went that evening, and it was the women that are being recognized in that. It's just so amazing. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. So let's start with your personal story of being a mom at a very early age, because I think that shapes us when we're young moms. And we were talking about this earlier this year. It shapes us when we're young moms and how we show up in life. So why don't you tell us that story?
Yeah, you know, I had my son Makai when I was 16 years old. So Kai turned 17 this year, which has just been insane.
For him, they grow up so fast.
Yeah, him to be even close to the age I had him at, it's given me a whole new perspective of this journey. But so, you know, I was a teen mom. And I think that as I think about that and the impact that it's had on me as a person, but really on my career, it really has been sort of the foundation of it. And I never would have admitted that in the beginning of my career when I first became a CFO. I was 26. I had a 10-year-old at home. And the reality is, like, not a lot of people knew that. Because
you kept it secret early on.
I did. Being a teen mom was not a story I shared. It was a shame I carried. And so when I first got a big team of people that I was responsible for as their leader, I really didn't want them to, in addition to me being the youngest CFO in the history of that department, want them to think about me being a teen mom and just use it against me. Oh, you're inexperienced, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. I was just so ashamed of my age. And you can imagine trying to be an effective leader, carrying that kind of shame and those type of secrets was not going well for me. So when I became a CFO for the first time, I just was, you know, messing it up pretty bad for, you know, 4 to 6 months, depending on who you ask. And it wasn't until I realized, you know, hey, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down being myself. And I went into work and asked my team for help. And I kind of admitted, hey, I'm really insecure about my age. I'm insecure about being the youngest person in every room I'm in. And the reason is because I had a baby at 16. So I've been the youngest in every part of my life and every aspect of my life. And the judgments I received for being too young to be a parent or become a parent really created a real wall for me that I've now carried into my career. And I just need your help. And, you know, most of the people that worked for me at the state had been there longer than I had been alive. And so, you know, to try to pretend that I was going to be able to lead them without their help, knowledge, expertise was just silly. And that's the day I kind of learned how important my story was, how important being a mom was, that it actually was making me a better leader and gave me some really interesting perspective on my career. And then, you know, also that leadership was something that had nothing to do with how good I was at being a financial technician. And that really, for me, leadership was about being a member of a team and being a visionary on a team, but then also the fact that I'd have to ask for help as a leader for the rest of my life. And I think that experience made me fall in love with leadership.
So that's so powerful. And when you just came clean
with your whole team. What was the response?
Well, I'm so grateful for that moment because it taught me the power of vulnerability as a leader, because they rallied around me from that day forward, where they understood, you know, my weaknesses in the areas where I was feeling very exposed. And they really did their best to fill in those gaps there. I call that those people that work for me back at this date to this day, when I'm feeling like I'm having a hard time, or I'm feeling ashamed, or I'm nervous to be vulnerable in a situation, or I'm going to take a new job. I get their advice to this day. They become some of my greatest mentors in the world, and they worked for me, and they taught me so much about myself and so much about how much people want to be there for you when you can be authentic and vulnerable.
And there's so many things I love about that story. And it's one of the things that the vulnerability, absolutely. And then the other part about it is the fact that we lead from all sides, right? I mean, it's like we can be a follower, we can be a leader, and we show up in all of those different ways when we are showing up.
I love that.
And that's really what happened there. I do, I don't even know if you know this, I do leadership workshops with my horses.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah. And that is one of the most fascinating things that comes out of that when we do work with the horses. And like last year, for example, we did one with Lockheed Martin's leadership team. And it was so powerful. And what you see is how when you start doing the work with the horses and they start responding and reacting with the team, you start to see where leadership can show up in different formats, whether it's leadership or followership. And then the other part of it is the vulnerability really comes forward through some of that. So it's pretty cool to be able to bring the horses in and let them mirror what's happening on a team.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, you think about the vulnerability that you shared back at that time. And if you would have been able to take that whole team out together and be with the horses, there would have been some really magical things that would have happened to unfold with that. So that's, I don't know, that's what was popping up for me on that.
Yeah, I love that. Just to stand in the face of, you know, this creature that's so strong. And, you know, that really is what you're looking at when you're thinking about leadership. Like, you know, when do I have to be the strongest in the room? When do I have to let someone else's strengths come out? When do I have to let people know I'm scared or I'm struggling so that they can step in to help me? And that's leadership. That's what I've learned it is.
That's cool. That's really cool. So tell us more about the arcway of your career from that point, from the Colorado Department of Public Health.
You know, after I left the state, I decided to go into corporate America, which was a really interesting transition, and people thought I was crazy. And I went over to the West Division of Comcast as a manager of financial planning and analysis. So I got a lot of feedback about taking that huge title and responsibility shift. But, you know, I was really specific that I wanted to learn forecasting and projections. And I needed to go into corporate America to do that. To me, it was a gap in my finance portfolio for what I saw for myself for the future. And I didn't think much about titles at the time. And, you know, I really don't to this day probably think much about titles. And so I just said, you know, I want to do this. I know that there's a gap in my finance portfolio that I can get. And I did. I went over as a manager, and I had one employee for about a year, and it was amazing. It was a great time of like learning and getting to work on really cool strategic projects, because I wasn't spending so much of my time with my team or managing people or really at these higher levels that I had before. And then I did that for a year. I was promoted to the director of financial planning analysis for the West Division about a year into that. And then I was a director for about a year. And then I was promoted to the vice president of finance and business operations for the West Division of Comcast. So I was at Comcast for 5 years and then journeyed back into what I call is my mission work, and am now the chief financial officer for the Colorado Trust.
Okay. So you went back into that type of an organization. In the meantime, you started your own business. Tell us a little bit about this.
So in 2018, I started the Daily Boss Up, which is a leadership coaching platform. It's a subscription-based business. And, you know, I really, at the time, had started a blog probably in early 2018, and the blog caught some traction. And I was really just trying to give advice and tips and tricks to leaders, emerging leaders, so folks that were thinking about leadership or had their first team or really wanted to go into that area. And I don't think we give folks training in leadership early enough in their careers. It's often, hey, we just handed you a team of 30 people, and now we might get
figure it out.
To do that, yeah. And I just refuse to believe there's so many bad bosses in the world. I think it's about our training and our toolbox and how we're preparing people for the work of leadership, because it's a job in itself. And so that's really why I started The Boss Up, is because I started this blog that caught a lot of traction. We were getting a lot of feedback and questions, and the questions all had these amazing themes. And so we decided to turn that into the Daily Boss Up, and we text subscribers every day. Every week we have a theme: confidence or working with others or vulnerability, authenticity. So we hit it all in a pretty tactical way, and we meet folks right where they are these days in their phones and deliver content to them so they don't have to go in search of content ever. And so we're this sort of daily reminder to do the soul work of leadership, which affects you in your career, but affects your life as much as anything as well. And so that's the Daily Boss Up. We charge $8 a month, hoping that folks can, dip their toe in leadership development affordably at a much earlier stage in their career.
And I love that it's about the soulful leadership, right?
Yes.
You know, my business is about soulful entrepreneurship, right?
Yep.
So it's really about listening to that inner wisdom that we have and letting those messages come up through us and finding our purpose and really stepping into our passions. So I think we're so aligned when it comes to that, so I love that you're bringing that into leadership and you're really offering that up to young leaders as they're evolving in their careers, because it's something that, when I think back to my early days in leadership, that was something I never thought of. I didn't have coaches around me early on. And like, right, you said, we get, suddenly we have a team of 30 people and we're the leader of them and we're supposed to figure that out. So I love what you're building.
Thank you. I think we are so, so aligned. And just the thought of knowing that, we're touching somebody every day, reminding them to, even if it's for 10 seconds while you read your text or your quote of the day, to just pause with yourself. And I think if I had known that sooner, I would have had a lot easier ride than I did, becoming, a leader of people, and taking on so much responsibility in my life, at such early ages, where I just felt really ill-equipped. And so I'm hoping those lessons can be passed on.
Awesome.
Through the Daily Boss Up content. Yeah.
And how do you pause with yourself on a daily basis for you?
I'm a big journaler, a big fan of journaling. And I think I've journaled since I was a kid. And it's a habit that, fortunately, and I say fortunately because I think it's one of my best habits and one of the habits that has helped me most in life, is to be a journaler, because I am incredibly self-analytical and self-critical. Mm-hmm. And so to get out of my head and put things to paper and to take something that feels complicated as I think about it into something that feels achievable when you write it down, or it simplifies it when you write it down, or it helps me have conversations with myself and coach myself the way I would other people, by journaling it. It also helps me reflect on how far I've come, which I think is really important as you tackle life, to be able to go back and say, I've been here before. I've beat this challenge before. Let me go read what I did. Let me go read, how sad I was. So the next time I'm sad, I can remember that it was temporary. And those things that when you're in the moment are really hard to get past. And I just think journaling has helped me in so many ways.
And having that record, and I think that you're absolutely correct. We come so far and we don't always recognize it. So really being able to go back and say, gosh, look where you were a year ago, 2 years ago, five years ago, and go, oh my gosh, look what's changed. Because it's usually very tremendous what's happened. And we're in the midst of the day to day. So we don't see it always.
Yeah. I regularly, remind myself that I won't be 16 and pregnant again. So when you're facing down, when you're facing down the next challenge, and man, we're so good at this, especially women. We're like, we conquer something and we turn and we just move on to the next thing. And I think we forget to celebrate. We forget to give ourselves credit. And then when we're in the next challenge, we forget to look back and go, oh my gosh, I've already been here. I've been through worse. And I'm going to be just fine. I've got all the skills to conquer this because I've already done it once. Yes. I already own the medal. So I just think it's really important for us to do that. And I try to do that for myself as much as possible.
That's awesome. And do you believe in work-life balance? I mean, given that you've got the full-time job, you've got the entrepreneur side of you, you've got kids. What do you say about work-life balance?
You know, I believe in balance within all of ourselves to the point that you've defined it for yourself and you don't let anyone else tell you what that means. Because right. I feel very balanced as a person because I feel like I'm walking in my purpose. I spend my energy in places that feed my energy and don't deplete it as much as possible on any given day. And I make time for my self-work. And so I feel balanced. I'm raising kind human beings who are confident and good to people. And that's what matters most to me, and the quality of our time together, not the quantity. Now, to someone looking in at my life, they might be like, whew, that doesn't look like balance at all. You know, I could never travel for work as much as she does, or I could never do both, or where do you find time for your kids? You know, I hear it all. Mm-hmm, and so I just remember not to define balance in any other way than, are you in a place where you feel at peace, and do you feel like you're always catching up on your day, or do you feel like you can tackle your day, and how much guilt are you walking around with? It doesn't serve us, right? That's not balance. So for me, balance is this inner dialogue that I have with myself, and how well is that going, and how well, you know, am I able to block out what everybody else thinks? And am I proud of how I spent the hours I was awake during the day and the hours I was asleep? Meaning, did I get enough sleep? So I think I think balance is, you know, very individualized and real to only us. And it's the opposite of what the world implies when they ask that question usually, which is, you know, how do you do it all? I don't. Right. I don't even get close. I ask for help. I have a lot of help. I have a lot of support. I have a tribe that's helped me raise my kids. I highly recommend that. And I think you should spend your hours doing the things that feed you, feed your soul, and the things you're good at, and not what any society tells you should be doing. And that's balance for me.
I would agree with all of that. I think it's so good to be able to define balance for ourselves. You know, and I also even love the word integrating, or
yeah, I love that.
You know, it's like integrating work and life and finding this flow between your work and life, because it's all life.
Yeah, and it's all life.
and if you're feeling the tension on one side or the other, it's like, okay, stop and pause and really think through what is most important. So I love everything that you shared there.
If being a teen mom gave me something that I don't think most moms get, it's that everyone expected me to have help. Everyone expected me to not know what I was doing. Everyone offered to step in and help me. I didn't have time to overanalyze who I was supposed to be as a mom. And I wish we treated moms that way in general. In addition, I had to graduate from high school. I had to go to college. Like, these were... if I wanted to achieve the things that I wanted to achieve in life, I had to do both, and nobody frowned upon me for doing that, right? They just thought it was amazing. So why don't we do that when moms have other goals in their lives and, you know, they're taking their kids along for the ride? And so, you know, I would apply that, you know, to all moms if I could give them any advice, because, you know, I was able to ask for help without feeling bad about it. And I think that's been a huge, huge impact on me and the way my kids are and how independent they are, and on me being able to love my career without feeling a lot of guilt about it.
I can't wait to share this episode with my niece who's pregnant right now.
Good.
In fact, good. I'll have to probably introduce the two of you
so you can give her
some of your wisdom.
Tell her to stay off Google and just, you know.
That's right. Yeah, it's so much fun. I'm so excited for her. But she's been asking these questions, right? It's like, how do you show up in work? She works at Cigna, and you know, how do you show up at work and integrate that
and as a mom. So I will connect you guys. It'll be fun.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. And you did do a TED talk around millennials, right?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. So what was the gist of your talk? I know I've watched it, but tell us.
You know, I think for me, it was about, I show up as the youngest often. I'm always the youngest executive in a room. And I was always hearing these little snippets about, you know, oh man, these millennials that are working for me and driving me crazy. And then I would hear all the reasons why. And I would be like, guys, I'm a millennial.
Exactly.
And when I think about it, you know, I'm a millennial. I show up that way. I carry the same character traits. And I really wanted to understand why people felt like being a millennial and being a leader were these mutually exclusive ideas, especially considering our workforce is becoming millennials.
Exactly.
And so that's what my talk was on. And I really was like, you know, what are these sort of stereotypes of our generation? And you know, how do you actually translate those into leadership skills? And why has me sort of living organically in my millennial self and my youngness after my first job at the state, where I really started to just live and breathe who I was, that's actually really helped me as a leader organically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I show up in a way that really makes people want to follow me, because I'm a learner as a leader, and I think that motivates people. And so to sort of try to tie all that together in this 18-minute TED talk that I hope is pretty fun for people.
It is really good. And you know, one of the things I think is really important is I actually love what millennials are doing to our corporate world, because it's making them shift. They have to shift to be able to attract people into their businesses. And I think it's for the better.
You know, I do too, because I think we're also the most diverse generation in history, and we're large and the most socially aware generation thus far. So we're active socially and in our communities and politically in our, you know, we sort of don't tolerate certain behaviors in corporate America that I think were a part of the fiber of so many industries for so long. And so to watch, you know, me, and then I'm even more hopeful, you know, my son's 17, and the way he talks, I'm just like, yeah, we're going to be all right.
Exactly.
I love that. They're requiring that corporations look in the mirror and shift in a way that I think is really positive.
I heard a statistic just the other day, and I want to say that millennials are going to be 50% or more of the workplace within just the next couple of years.
Next year. Yep.
Next year. Okay.
Yep. We'll pass the 50% mark in the year 2020.
Yeah. So that's the reason corporations have to change, because it's hello.
Yeah,
that's who's,
right.
Who's
yeah.
going to be working for you. So I think it's awesome. Yeah. I totally think it's awesome. So on the outside, Danielle, you appear so bold and courageous. Is there anything you're afraid of?
Oh man, I'm afraid of so many things. You know, I'm scared all the time. I handle fear differently than others, or, you know, I just don't let fear stop me. But I'm afraid. So I want people to know that, because I do think my outward, I do come off pretty bold and confident and I guess fearless, but that's not the reality. I don't claim to be fearless, and I wouldn't want anyone to think that, because I wouldn't want them to think that their fear means they're not ready, or a sign of them not being successful. So first I'll say that. It's like, I'm scared all the time. I'm scared before I get on the podcast interview. I'm scared before I get on any stage, whether it's 5,000 people I'm speaking to or 20. But then I just, you know, sort of talk myself into it. And I do that by saying, you know, what's the worst that can happen? And I think the other thing is that I have really maintained perspective on my life, where, again, I won't be 16 and pregnant again. Or, you know, what were your goals for yourself, Danielle, when you were 17, 18, 19, and all you wanted to do was graduate college and not be on public assistance? Like, I was on public assistance, and there's nothing wrong with being on public assistance, but that was my goal, right? That's why I wanted to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me to forget that was the goal and let myself be terrified by all the other things that I face just doesn't seem realistic to me, right? Like, I always sort of say, you know, how long would it take me to get all the way back to that place where the only thing I wanted was to not be on public assistance, right? Like, right. How many failures would I have to have for this trajectory to change so significantly that I'd be back in the place where my first goal wasn't achievable anymore? And then that kind of helps level set me around my fear. And then I kind of use that fear to propel myself. And then oftentimes the thing I'm afraid of is the thing that, you know, is really the fuel for what's next for me. And so having a couple successes with moments where I was really, really afraid, and it turning out really well for me has also given me the, you know, the ability to face the next fear with a little more confidence.
And I think that's, if there's one thing that I've learned from being an entrepreneur, from doing this podcast and getting to speak to so many amazing women who have done just extraordinary things all around the world, is that that fear thing is a real thing for all of us. Mm-hmm. And it shows up for us, and we just get good at stepping into it. And despite the fear, and every time we stretch a little bit more, there's some more fear that's associated there, and we step into it, and then it's easier the next time, and it just keeps that bar keeps moving.
Right. I love that. I love that. I love the step into it. Like, I haven't heard it in that way, but that's exactly right. And we're never becoming people who don't get afraid. We just have developed tools for those moments of fear. I think that's right.
Yeah. So what are some of the biggest lessons you've learned in your journey?
Oh man, I've learned so many. You know, I've learned that wherever we go, we take us with us, right? Mm-hmm. And so learning to not try to be somebody different when I show up in a workplace than I do when I show up for my kids, or when I show up at, you know, a meeting of the moms, or show up with my friends. And that's going to be my lifelong journey. It's my lifelong goal, is to show up as myself and in every space that I'm in. And I would be lying if I said I've mastered that, or that I feel the same level of comfort to be who I am in all those different spaces. But more and more, as I've built my career, I've learned to be a little more myself in every space I am. And so that's a huge lesson. If you can start that work now, that's a good thing for you, and your life will be a little easier. And I think I find happiness more. And then, you know, I think that I've learned that there's a really big difference between goals and plans. Mm. And, you know, I think when you achieve some of the successes I have, people are like, man, you must be so, you know, deadly focused on how to get somewhere, and so driven, and have this map, you know, of how you climb the corporate ladder. And man, is that so far from the truth. The one thing that's true is that I'm goal oriented. So I do set goals for myself every year, every, you know, 1 year goal and 3 year goals. But then I don't get myself attached to how to get there.
It's so important, like, yeah, right? Because it's going to change.
It's going to change 1,000 times. And I think people say, hey, I want to go to Miami tomorrow, and I want to get there by airplane, and I want to take United, and I want to leave at 11, and I want to be there by 1. And then what happens is, you know, your flight gets canceled. You have to get on a bus. You get stuck in Missouri for a week. And most people just stop in Missouri. You know, most people are like, well, you know, I'm in Missouri, not Miami. So therefore, that wasn't the goal that was meant for me. And I, you know, I've learned the difference between that. There is no goal that is not meant for you. How you get there is going to change. It's going to look different from what you set out for it to be. And I think the only difference between me and someone who maybe isn't where I am but wants to be is that, you know, they may have quit in Missouri and they need to just get right back on that bus and keep going. Right. And then learn as much as you can when stuff goes in a different way than you wanted it to. Like, all right, well, I'm here for a reason. So what can I pick up and from who, you know?
Right.
It's a huge lesson, and it's made it easier for me to make decisions along the way and to not get
trapped.
And
so how do you goal set for the year? I mean, what's your approach to that?
You know, because I'm so self-analytical, I usually am really aware of the things in the year that didn't go the way that I needed them to, or for me, if there is something that I wanted to do that I didn't do, I don't goal set around, oh, just push the goal into the next year, but I try to understand why, like what was going on in my schedule or what was going on within me personally, personally that didn't get me exactly where I wanted to.
So you can shift
certain spaces. That's right. Because otherwise you're just resetting the goal with the same bad habits. So most of my goals are around my own work, like my own internal work. I want to be more this, or you know, I want to be less this. I want to spend less of my time in this way and more of my time in that way. And so I do set goals that way, right? So if one of your goals is, for me, is to buy some investment properties, without understanding yourself and what might prevent you from getting there, like spending habits, or, you know, hating to do personal finances because I do them all day. It makes it hard to like actually set goals that are achievable towards the bigger goal. So, you know, I'll set goals like hiring a personal accountant that really sort of takes my money and does that for me, or, you know, just things that are, you know, really help me get there. But it's all about understanding myself first and what I need to do better or get help doing to achieve goals. So, you know, my yearly goals look pretty funny and they're pretty tactical. And they're also like, it's just a lot of self-work. You know, I want to be in 2020, I've already started thinking about this. I want to, you know, care less what the outside world thinks of me, you know, and I can only do that by setting small little goals. And, you know, when I'm in a moment where, you know, I change my outfit because I'm worried what people are going to think when I'm on that stage, you know, don't change my outfit. And it's really that simple and little to progress towards, you know, a better version of myself who's not such a people pleaser. So that, you know, that's a long-term goal for me, but each year I set smaller goals to try to achieve that. So that's how it looks.
That's good. That's really good. What's the legacy you hope to leave?
Oh my gosh. I hope, you know, I never think about what I want to do for a living, but only who I want to be for a living.
That is really rich. I love that.
Cause you know, titles and all that come and they change and they're temporary. But, so I guess what I hope people say is, that she left me better than she found me, because, she shared something that I related to. And, you know, I hope that the legacy I leave is that I left my communities and the people in my communities better than I found them. I don't want people to walk away from interactions with me, worse than they were, or even, you know, the same as they were. So hopefully I can use everything hard that I've been through in a way that makes something easier for somebody else. It's kind of, I think that's why I'm here. I think that's why I go through what I go through. Mm-hmm. And even if it's not, it sure helps me get through the day to think that way.
Yes.
Yeah, I hope to leave it a little better than I found it. And
that's good. I love it.
Yeah.
What's next for you, and where can people learn more about you and your work?
Gosh, you know, again, hard to answer that question. What's next for me? I'm going to walk through open doors.
Mm-hmm, there you go.
So that's what's next for me. And then, definitely, you know, I'm going to be traveling a lot less. So getting more involved in my Colorado community again, and I'm using my role here at the trust, to do that. And so that's already happening, and I'm already just feeling joy every day getting to do that. And then, you know, we're really doing some expansions with the Boss Up, and working on some partnerships with other phenomenal leadership organizations to provide additional value using our content. So that's really fun to be working on right now. And I have an amazing team with the Boss Up, an amazing team with the Trust. And so further developing people that I get to, you know, call my employees every day, and I'm grateful for that. And then, you know, I think I myself want to have a little more fun.
Well, there you go. What's fun look like for you?
I just went through a divorce. And so the last year was not the most fun year of my life. Mm-hmm. It was a year of learning a lot of lessons. And so I kind of, like, for the first time ever feel like a grown up at the age of 34. And so having some more grown up fun, and fun looks like traveling on the weekends, and spending more time with just wine nights with my girlfriends. My love language is quality time. And so I'm really tapped into the quality of my time and making sure I'm feeding myself in that way as I head into the next year, which sounds crazy considering how much I just took on, but I'm going to have more fun.
You will do
it. We'll make it work.
That's right. Well, we'll go out for a glass of wine.
Exactly.
So the final question I always close with is, what three pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience today?
You know, I would love to just say that nothing good in life comes without what's hard. And so, you know, just don't beat yourself up because you went through something hard, or going through something hard, or will go through things that are really, really hard that you just feel ill-equipped to go through. And remember that whatever that thing is that you're sort of having to get through it one day at a time is probably the thing that you know, is going to help you be the greatest version of yourself. So sit with it, sit in it, and never, ever feel guilt for any emotion you feel when you're going through something difficult, because you are meant for it.
So good.
And then give yourself credit, and do that publicly. Give yourself credit for all that you've overcome, and then please share your stories with other people, because I think we're, you know, unfortunately sitting around all, you know, looking at somebody from the outside and saying it must not have been as hard for them. And I just think if we started sharing our stories and stopped talking ourselves out of our own greatness and all the great things that we've accomplished, you know, we would really help ourselves get a long way, and other people, by sort of demystifying this thing we call success, especially as women.
That's awesome.
How many was that? I felt like
that was two. Sort of 30 so things. You got one more.
You know, you would never talk to anyone the way that you talk to yourself.
And yes.
I think the biggest battles that we fight are the ones we're fighting in our own minds. And don't make things harder by staying in your head and beating the crap out of yourself every day for thinking all the things that you think. So be kind to yourself. Talk to yourself with kindness. And if you can't do it, just remember, you know, would I ever say this to any other people in my life? And the answer will always be no.
It will be. Absolutely. And I think that mindset piece is, you know, so many, I always tell my entrepreneur clients that mindset is the most important work you can do. It's learning to really love on yourself with your words is just so important. And so whether it's leadership, whether it's entrepreneurship, wherever each person is, it's shifting that conversation is so powerful for us.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Danielle. This has been a pleasure, and I love sharing your story and sharing your work. Go check out The Daily Boss Up, and thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you so much. You can find me at dshoots.com and Daily Boss Up and all the social medias, and join us.
Yes, absolutely. And we'll put all of those into the show notes so that people can find you.
I am so appreciative of you having me, and just to be a part of your whole community, Cami, has just been really phenomenal and enriching for my life.
Well, thank you so much, and we'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to visit me at camigelner.com to find out how you can make heartfelt connections to mindful strategies to ignite an abundant flow of cash and clients into your business. I'd love to hear from you on any of my social media channels. I'm on both Facebook and Twitter. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.